There are probably ministries out there that could use a little, little check and balances sometimes. But for the most part, most of the ministers that I know of are very humble people that live within their means. And they're definitely not the greedy type. It's probably one in a million. And so to judge the whole church just off of that seems to be inconsistent and undeserved. But I will tell you that it is important when coming to giving to kind of figure out why it is that you do. Our ministry has always been defined by, we live within our budget. We very rarely, we went through a season a number of years ago when we were in these desperate times where we had to make a lot of very key decisions. Most of you who have been with us a long time know that we had a larger set of offices and we were running a bigger show. And I think at that particular time we were worried about what would happen, and there was a need to ask for money quite a bit, and it was really troubling me in my heart. And so I made a decision during that crisis time that I would never again be that kind of person, that I would learn to live within the means of what God provided. And I hope that those of you who have been with me this number of years would attest to that, that that's truly what I do. I'm not afraid or ashamed to work hard. I do. I've worked a full-time job ever since that period of time, and I've tried to, not a burden on the church, and have tried to take care of my family and live up to my responsibilities and kind of make up for ground that might have been lost. I believe that's integral, and I believe that that's important, and so that's the echo of my life. I will say that something that troubled me was this week. We were discussing this issue in a class, and one of the professors who led that class talked about how on Sunday morning he has everybody take out their offering, and then they hold it up, and then he makes them say this set row of words that are up there on the screen. And Sue and I had that experience many times in our faith, as well as we've just recently had it when we took Emily up to Redding, California. And I really definitely don't dismiss good people who in good conscience and good faith give with the hopes that God would move in their finances. But I will tell you that what was going on in that room and what they're talking about in that magazine and what we experienced in television is it looks a lot more like magic or an incantation. So if you say this set of words and don't vary from here or there, and you say it in the right frame, then God will move somehow, as long as you say the magic words, in Jesus' name, in faith. It gets very complicated. And the theme of Full Life's mission is that belief in God is not that complicated. There should be a sound reasoning of a heart as to why we give. First of all, the Christian knows that his source of his provision comes from God. And when we give, it is an act of worship in response to what God has provided. God is a big God. He is a sovereign God, and he has seen the path of our life, and he has seen fit to provide for us. And we recognize that all good things in our life come from God. How many of you believe this morning that God is a good God and that he provides for all of our need? So most of us believe that in our conscience. And we have to understand that God isn't all that mysterious, that he definitely knows the events of our life, and he knows the trouble that we're going through. But I have challenged people to be givers, not because I believe that some magic formula, but because I believe in that relationship between person and God, and that God can come and move in the midst of our difficult times, and provision comes miraculously from just unknown sources. The Lord always takes care of his people. So primarily, it's an act of worship. And secondly, it's an issue of trust. I have trusted in God to be my source and my strength. The third thing that I think is very important when people give is for an aspect that is just kind of stupefies me. I've been in the church a long time, and there are users and takers in the church. I believe in my heart that most everybody here, I know you personally, I don't believe that that's you, but we have had a season where you could tell that as soon as you take a benevolence offering, you can know. I think, Steve, you were with me during that time. We used to almost have an inside joke that you knew when you took a benevolence offering, the very people that would come with an immediate need, they didn't have it the week before, but as soon as they knew you took a benevolence offering, they were there, just every month. They somehow knew, And you'd say, like, oh, I just took a benevolence offering Sunday. Did you really? I didn't know that. I just didn't know that. But I don't think that that's what it is. I'm not in my house. I was raised with the issue that we all had to contribute and pull our weight. And that value seems to be predominant in our ministry as well. All of us share a part of the burden of what it is that we do and go through. There isn't anybody here that would think that we shouldn't buy Sunday school material or paper. I mean, that's just common sense. It just happens. And we're all going to pull our weight and we all share. The reason why I think that that's important in the context of people or otherness is the fact that we all are in this together, and it's really the family doing what it can do, and within the context of living out of your means. But we all want to participate in a worshiping community that flows together. I've always envisioned a church in the book of Acts. Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute. I know that this can be taken advantage of, and so I say it with some qualifications. But can you imagine a world where if one person had a genuine need, that the whole of the community came together to meet that need? Wouldn't that be a beautiful picture of what could happen, that maybe somebody knows, and this has blessed us, you know, we've had times where we've needed plumbing done and there's a plumber in the church or an electrician, and I've tried to pay these people, but they consider it as an act of worship. Those who have done work at our house know I've really tried to be faithful with that. It's not something we take advantage of each other, but I firmly believe that the needs of a particular church can be fulfilled by the contribution of others that are within that community. And so I think it's just participating in a body life that should happen. And the fourth thing that I think is very important, and I'm saying this for those of you that are here for us one time or for those of us who are walking with us for a long part of the journey, listen, friends, never give under compulsion. And I, as a pastor, a lead pastor, and those that are here, we are open before you. If you come to us and say, you're getting a little greedy, we need that check. Because we have to live in an openness. Nobody should force you out of any kind of conjuring or magic to give anything. You should give what's on your heart to give and be at peace with that. It's an act of worship. And friends, I've been to lots of churches where money becomes the issue. And here's my problem with it. Money becomes the point of their message. Jesus just somehow fades away, and we're talking about money and how to get money and get money and go money and money, 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 money. It's disturbing to the spirit, you know. I think that the focus of our worship should be Jesus. And so that's been the message that we have, is a focus on the Scripture and a focus on Jesus. And so I would just call to your attention that the world is looking for some way to take out the church. It always has. And that you are an authentic person in the presence of Jesus. The Lord knows your heart. He knows how you can begin this process of giving. He knows, like, to be a generous person, it means you start at some point and then grow. I remember only having $5 to give to the Lord, and I remember having a lot more to give to the Lord. It's just whatever place you find yourself in life, you contribute as the Lord has done. This message isn't to promote giving. It's to promote worship. It's to reframe what money is all about. Thinking straight about money just begins with us having an authentic, genuine heart before the Lord. And I'm very upset about how many people make money the issue. I, like you, am reluctant to go to conferences and putting my name on a mailing list because I know I'm going to be bombarded with 35,000, you know, opportunities to give off of every program. You know, when the paper comes by, you're like, oh, you're making up names and putting down a fake address. I've solved that problem because I always put Steve's name and address down. So that's how I get over it. And I used to use Max, but then he bought a new gun from Larry Lacy, and I can't do that anymore. I actually did that to a guy at work. I did that to Peter. This guy and I are nemesis, and so he did a practical joke at my desk. So what I did is I went on every single televangelist website, and I put his name and address down. And I went to the Jehovah Witness website and said that I would like a visit. So, yeah, I got Peter back. But whatever we do in word or deed, let's do unto the Lord in an authentic way. Let's be genuine in our faith and hope-filled that God is moving. Father, our focus of our ministry has been to bless those, Lord, that have come into the sphere of our influence. And in the name of Jesus, Lord, Sue and I continually keep before us the gratefulness of the people that give in our church. And so, Father, I'm praying that you would begin to turn the tide for them. I know, Lord, that Nate and Aaron are here. They bought a house. I know, Lord, that people have gotten new jobs. And we continue on that stream. That, Lord, you take care of your people. And we worship you today with that aspect. And so, Father, we live in a genuine way before the Lord's presence with a heart that contributes. And, Father, I pray that these folks would be released from that spirit of compulsion, Lord, that has oftentimes come to define the church. And I pray, Lord, that you would rise up worshipers, God, of Jesus, who would, in all that they do, God, be an open book before your presence. And as an issue of trust, God, we continually proclaim our dependence upon you and for your provision. And we thank you for the good things that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.